The cover of Time magazine was a bit of a shocker. A 26-year-old mother standing and breastfeeding her 3-year-old son who's perched atop a chair. The issue is marking the 20th anniversary of something known as attachment parenting. For more, we're joined by Deborah Kotz, health blogger for the Boston Globe. And Deborah, a lot of people from all sides were offended by the cover, saying it was callous, offensive, even exploitative. What was your take on it?
I think it was clearly put out there to grab attention and to sell magazines. So I think they succeeded in that for certain. What I'm questioning is just how common is attachment parenting these days. I think it is a little overhyped on the cover. I don't think it's as common as they make it seem. That said, though, I think that parents nowadays really are much more hovering than we used to be in the previous generations. You know, we are much more concerned about where our kids are at all times, at trying to soothe every insult that occurs in their lives and really trying to nurture them as much as possible. But the question is this better for the kids or not as good for the kids?
Right, but it seems like this attachment parenting goes to the extreme even more than that. Could you kind of fill us in a little bit?
Absolutely. You know, it's based on certain tenets. One of the big things is having your child sleep with you. They call it co-sleeping. So they're in the room with you from infancy onward. They don't really have a cutoff as to when they should be going into their own room, but it could be, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, whether they're in bed or in an attached bassinet. And they advocate for safe sleeping practices, but still it can be a little intrusive on the parents. They also say that you should wear your child at all times, putting him in a sling.
Like a jacket.
Yeah, putting him in a sling instead of pushing him in a stroller is one of the tenets as well.
So what are the supposed benefits of this? It's supposed to nurture a certain closeness that has long-term positive effects for the child down the road?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it depends on who you read, but the website, the attachment parenting website, and Dr. Sears, who wrote the best-selling baby book about this, sort of talks about the fact that kids who are, you know, raised with attachment parenting tend to be more sensitive, tend to be less violent. They have a more highly developed capacity for empathy and connection with other people. I did a search of the literature and really didn't find that there were studies to prove that. I mean, there aren't really studies to compare kids who were raised with attachment parenting techniques versus those who were not, to see just how different they are when they turn to be teenagers and adults.
Right, and there's obviously a lot of benefits that a supporter of any ideology will tout, but if there's no research there to back it up, then that leaves a lot kind of in the lurch. Any evidence that it might actually harm children? And there's also the possibility that it could harm parents, right, because of time constraints and things like that.
Absolutely. You know, it can put a real damper on somebody or guilt on somebody who's trying to, you know, perhaps they work outside the house and they can't tote their child around with them all the time, or maybe they can't breastfeed exclusively for that purpose. You know, and also for a parent's sex life. I mean, let's be frank here. You know, having a child in your bed is not really good for couple intimacy. So that can put a real damper on the marriage. And also there's a real set of experts who advocate for teaching children to comfort themselves. You know, you want your child to learn how to fall asleep on their own. You want them to be able to, you know, not have to run to mommy or daddy every time they have some, you know, sort of upset in their lives, that they should be able to somehow deal with it on their own. And this type of attachment parenting doesn't really emphasize that all that much.
Deborah Kotz, health blogger for the Boston Globe.